Blog Talk Radio.
WFBTalkContinues.com. Welcome to the show. It's a beautiful Friday where I am. Hope it's the same for you. It's Friday, June 4th, 2010. We've got a lot of show for you to pack in this next hour or so. So we may run a little long. Bear with us, but we've got some great information, some great interviews, and some other stuff to talk about as we head towards the playoffs in the IWFL and the WFA season starts to wind down. Once again, I am Mark the Shark. Welcome to the show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, you can email me at markthesharkatfridaynightfootballpreview.com. That's markthesharkatfridaynightfootballpreview.com. Or you can log on to wfbtalkcontinues.com. Get on our website and join the chat room. Be part of the festivities. We'll get to you, and we'll address all your concerns and comments as we go along. Also, if you want to call in the show, dial 1-347-826-7278. That's 347-826-7278. All right, let's welcome to the show. And, of course, I'm really getting tired of the emails about why I'm qualified. You people out there don't think I'm qualified to do this program, but, okay, I'm going to have to get back to the books and just kind of tell you, you know, I was once offered a cabinet position if I would not run for office. Of course, I high-jumped Carl Lewis once, and I wrote a Tony Award-winning screenplay. What? No? I didn't. Well, you know, I was on the Captain Kangaroo show, and I ate 12 hot dogs in 10 minutes once. Yeah, what? You got a problem with that, too? All right, so what? I drive a Dodge Dart, and I sleep under the freeway, okay? And I was named least interesting person in the world. All right, you happy? There, I'm qualified. That's good enough for me. Hope it works for you. Welcome to the show. Let's get right to it. Let's tell you what we're going to have today on the show. We got a fantastic lineup of interviews. 7:15 or so, we got Jennifer Bowling, running back from the Iowa Thunder, along with her teammate, defensive linewoman Brianna Robinson. They're coming up in about 12 minutes. Iowa Thunder are 4-1 and really fighting for a playoff spot. We'll get to them in about 15, 12 minutes. We also have got offensive coordinator Myron Brown of the Sacramento Sirens. They're 7-0. Got a big game that's going to help in their rankings determine how their playoff seeding is. He's coming up at 25 after the hour. Coming up at 35 after the hour, Jenny Schmidt and Mindy White. Schmidt's the quarterback. Mindy White is the vicious linebacker from the Kansas City Tribe. Tribe is 5-2. Last year's IWFL world champions. This year, they're 5-2, and they've really got to play well. Hope for some things to fall in the right place to get into the playoffs again this year. And the last interview of the day is at 45 after the hour, Jessica Javelet, wide receiver for the Southern California Scorpions. They're 5-2, fighting for a playoff spot. We'll talk to her what it's like to be one of the leading receivers in the league. All right, we're also going to cover, we've got IWFL Week 9 scores. The WFA was off last week, so we're not going to have scores from them. We're going to hit on the playoff races a little bit, talk about the IWFL and some of the key matchups this weekend and how that will determine the playoff seeding. We've also got IWFL stats and WFA stats, as always. And we're going to wrap up the show with the rankings. They got the Massey and Zermelo rankings coming up shortly. All right, let's get right to some hot information. Once again, first interviews of the day, Jennifer Bowling and Brianna Robinson of the WFA's Iowa Thunder. They're coming up in 10 minutes. Don't go anywhere. Let's take a look at the IWFL scores from Week 9, Saturday, May 29th. Short schedule, as it was Memorial Day weekend. Hope you enjoyed your three-day weekend. I sure did. Out of the Sirens game for a big, big blowout win, which really helped them as they drive towards the playoffs. Anyways, I digress. Let's get to the scores from Week 9. In a real important game, the SoCal Scorpions tore up the Bay Area Bandits 43-6. Both teams are now 5-2. And that really helped the Scorpions try to seal a bid for the playoffs. Also got the Energy, won their game by forfeit. They go to 5-2, and the Cyclones are now 0-7. Seattle Majestics with a big, big first win of the season. They are now 1-6 as they blow out Modesto. The Maniacs lose 52-0. How about those Tigers? They are 3-4 with a win over the Nightmare. They are now 0-7. Tigers win 25-8. And in another big game, the LA Amazons go down 2 weeks in a row, really hurting their playoff chances. The Shockwave roll to 5-2. Shockwave win 20-6 in Los Angeles. Other side of the scoreboard, how about those Divas? They are 5-2 with a blowout win over the Firebirds, 49-3. Firebirds fall 7. How about the New England Intensity? They are intense as they roll up the Rebels. Rebels 0-7, Intensity undefeated at 7-0. With a big 56-7 win in Rebel Land. And, of course, the aforementioned Sacramento Sirens now 7-0 with a 73-0 blitzing of the Tucson Monsoon. Monsoon falls to 1-6. And how about that Atlanta Explosion? They are now 7-1 with a big shutout win over the Fox. Fox are 5-2. That shutout comes by 56-0 in Atlanta. Great game for those girls. All right, as we said, there are no WFA scores tonight to talk about as they had the entire Memorial Day weekend off. But let's take a look. We're going to go to some of these IWFL Week 10 matchups and kind of look at some of the key matchups that are going to really play into the playoff races as we go forward next weekend. We've got a big game in Houston, the 6-1 Dallas Diamonds up against the 5-2 Houston Energy. That is a very important game. We will see how that plays out. The Diamonds are really trying to fight for a playoff spot there, but are out of it as we speak at them. Or no, actually, they are the challenger number two in the Pacific West Division in Tier 2, just behind the Force. Another big, big game, DC Divas 5-2 face Boston Militia. Boston's undefeated and hope to stay that way. They have a great ranking right now. I believe they are the number one ranked team in the country, and the rankings are really important here in the IWFL. If you don't know, the rankings, not the records alone, but the rankings will determine the playoff seeding as we go forward. And once the regular season is finished, what we understand is the rankings do not change. They are locked in. They do not alter in any way with the playoff action as it unfolds as the season goes forward. So once you finish Week 10, you've established your total ranking, and that is the ranking you will use as you go forward to determine seeding in the playoffs. How about those New York Sharks? They got a big game against the Pittsburgh Passion. They need a big win because right now they are the number two seed in the Northeast Division against facing Boston at this point. Also, the SoCal Scorpions and the Bay Area Bandits, both teams are 5-2. That's a big game. And the Bay Area Bandits are the number one seed right now in the Pacific West Division, Tier 2. And they look to face Modesto, but Modesto has a tough game against Sacramento. And there are three teams tied at 1-6 in the Pacific West Tier 2 division. So be very interested to see which of those teams will face the Bay Area in the playoffs. How about the California Quake? They're looking tough, 6-1, with that Monique Zaki just tearing it up in their backfield. They face the 5-2 Portland Shockwave. Right now, it looks like the California Quake are going to be the 2 seed to face the Sirens. So they're really looking for a win. They want to make sure they seal that number 2 seed and make the playoffs. Last big game I thought this week on the schedule was going to be the 7-0 Chicago Force against the 5-2 KC Tribe. coming up at 35 after the hour, Jenny Schmidt and Mindy White of The Tribe talking about what it was like to win the championship last year and really trying to find their way to make that playoff. It's a stretch for them, but they've got an opportunity. They really need to start off by beating the Chicago Force and see where that lands them after the rankings come out. So those are the big games I see coming up in the IWFL. Right now, if the season ended today, we'd have the Sharks playing at Boston. New England Intensity would be at Montreal. The Atlanta Explosion would be at the DC Divas. And that's one of those unique ones. The Atlanta Explosion actually has a 7-1 record right now, and the Divas are only 5-2. But by virtue of their ranking, the DC Divas actually are the number one seed in that division. Right now, also, if the season ended today, the Chattanooga Locomotion would be facing the Carolina Phoenix at Carolina. California Quake would be at Sacramento to face the Sirens. The Modesto Maniacs at the Bay Area Bandits, but that could change heavily. Dallas Diamonds are looking to play in Atlanta against the Force. And so far, the Clarksville Fox, 5-2, are going to be facing the Wisconsin Warriors. Another one that's kind of reversed. The Warriors are 4-3. The Fox have a better record, but the Wisconsin Warriors are ranked a little bit better. So that's the way the playoffs are looking right now. And we're going to come back and talk to our guests and get to some more information on the rest of the leagues coming up in just moments. We're going to take a short break. It's about 11 after the hour. Coming up shortly, Jennifer Bowling and Brianna Robinson of the Iowa Thunder in about 4 or 5 minutes. Don't you go anywhere. I am Mark the Shark, and you are listening to WFBTalkContinues.com. It's an excellent source of vitamin C. Be right back. Welcome back to the big show. I am Mark the Shark, and you are listening to Friday Night Football Preview on your host at WFBTalkContinues.com. Welcome back to the program. Coming up in just moments, we're waiting for Jennifer Bowling and Brianna Robinson to check in with us and tell about those 4-1 Iowa Thunder. They're coming up in just moments. 25 after the hour, offensive coordinator Myron Brown of the Sac Sirens. Coming up 35 after the hour, Jenny Schmidt and Mindy White of the Kansas City Tribe. And to round it off at about a quarter till, Jessica Javelet, the hot wide receiver out of the SoCal Scorpions, and they are 5-2. Let's take a look at a couple of key matchups in the WFA. It is week 8 in the WFA. All these games scheduled for June 5th. That is tomorrow. Let's take a look. We've got a big, big game, the St. Louis Slam, 6-0 against those Iowa Thunder. Bowling and Robinson will be up in just moments to talk about how important that game is to them going forward and heading towards the playoffs. Of course, the WFA has a couple more weeks after this. Their schedule is a little staggered from the IWFL. But they are going to have a couple of weeks to finish up. But these are important games as we roll down the stretch. We've also got the 4-1 Austin Outlaws heading to Houston to face the Power. Power is now 4-3. And I think the big, big game of the week, you can't beat this, folks. The 4-0 Portland Fighting Phillies against the 6-0 Las Vegas Showgirls. That is your highlighted game of the week. Las Vegas really is on a roll, and Portland obviously hasn't lost. So this is a big, important game as they decide who's going to make the show coming down to the final weeks in the WFA. All right, I understand we are still waiting for one more guest, waiting for Jennifer to snap on the line, and as soon as she does, we will join her and bring in a Robinson for a nice little conversation about the Thunder. In the meantime, let's jump aboard. Let's cross over back to the IWFL, and we're going to get you some stats right here. Quarter after the hour here, wherever you are, probably the same, probably a quarter after for you too. All right, in passing yards as a team, the Kansas City Tribe, 2,041 passing yards. And guess what? 35 after the hour, the leading quarterback in the league, Jenny Schmidt of the Kansas City Tribe, is going to be here. Tell us how she's slinging that ball and how that golden arm is holding up throughout the season. Second in passing yards as a team are the SoCal Scorpions. They have 1,904 yards. And then the New York Sharks bring up third with 1,560 passing yards. How about passing touchdowns of the team? Jenny Schmidt and those Tribe have 26. The Scorpions, SoCal Scorpions, with big Jessica Javelin, she's catching a lot of those touchdowns. They've got 25, and the New York Sharks have 20 passing touchdowns. Let's take a look at passing yards. The leader in the clubhouse right now with one game to go is Jenny Schmidt of the Tribe, 1,882 yards. She's coming up in moments. In second from the Scorpions is Melissa Gallegos. She's got 1,737 passing yards. And in third is Karen Mulligan from the New York Sharks at 1,560 yards. And in passing touchdowns, it goes the same three girls. Schmidt has 23, Gallegos 20, and Mulligan has 19 touchdowns. All right, looks like we're going to stop right there. We're going to get to rushing yards in just a minute. But, of course, as always on Friday Night Football Preview, our guests are the biggest thing going. So we're going to bring in two of them right now. Let's pot up Jennifer Bowling and Brianna Robinson of the Iowa Thunder. Ladies, are you there?
Yep.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. Let me hear, which one's Brianna?
I'm Brianna.
Brianna is a defensive lineman from the 401 Iowa Thunder. And how about Jennifer Bowling, the matrix, the hot running back from the Thunder? She's 4-1. How are you, Jennifer?
I'm doing excellent. Thanks for having us on tonight.
Hey, you're very welcome. Thank you for being on the show, talking about what you guys love to do, play football on Saturdays. Hey, as we roll forward in the next couple of weeks, you guys are both really looking to get this Thunder in the playoffs at 4-1, so every game is critical. Let's talk a little bit about you, Brianna. Last year you were second in sacks and third for tackles for losses. Tell me a little bit about your background and what got you here to this point playing professional football.
Well, I didn't grow up with football at all. And I was in high school last year. I just graduated. And we played Powder Puff for our senior week. And it was kind of fun. And then I heard about this Thunder and figured I'd go out and give it a try and fell in love with the game.
It's pretty easy to do. Did you use that old Nerf football back in the Powder Puff days?
No, we had a youth football.
Ah, there you go. My sister played way back in the day before anything like this. And they used an old Nerf football, I remember that. Let's go to some of your stats this year. You got 45 tackles, 17 tackles for losses. That's tied for third in the league. And you've also got 5 forced fumbles. That's tied for second. What is it that about your individual skills that allows you to get in the backfield for one and to cause so much havoc?
Well, last year when I was first starting playing, my teammate, Melissa Grimes, she's really aggressive in how she plays, and I've learned everything from her. So we pretty much play the same way. We're just really aggressive and going after everything we can, and we don't stop till the whistle's blown.
Well, and you can't in this league especially because, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. Let's talk to Jennifer. Bring Jennifer in real quick. Jennifer, you led the league in last year in yards, rushing touchdowns, and total touchdowns. And nothing stopping the matrix. She's rolling it up again this year. Your second in yards this year was 795. You got an incredible 12.2 average per run, and you're fifth in touchdowns with 10 touchdowns. Tell me a little bit about how you became a professional football player. And I see a little bit of soccer background in that, huh?
Yeah, I grew up playing soccer and, you know, kind of always played practice right next to the boys playing football and kind of thought, I ain't no thing. That's not as hard as what we do over here in the soccer field. And then I played a little bit. I went to school in Southern California, so I got to play some beach flag sand football and kind of just fell in love with the mental part of the game and moved to Iowa. And I was like, man, I kind of miss playing the flag football. We used to have some great tournaments. And a friend said, you know, I think actually Iowa has a professional team. And from there, you know, looked up a different team that was in Iowa at the time. And then the Thunder was formed, and they just had this great attitude about, you know, getting a bunch of coaches and teaching women how to play the game, and I was on board. So said, sign me up. Give me the ball. I want to run.
There you go. And I would think being a great soccer player, I read some of your bio, you really have really done well as a soccer player. I would think there's a lot of transferable skills that you can actually apply to your football game. Would that be right?
Well, definitely. I mean, as far as timing, you know, working on going on, you know, working with 11 other players on the field and your when to pick up speed, when to back it off. Also, you know, I played striker for soccer, so for those of you who know how to, like, be able to change up your speed when you're running, you know, going from full throttle to slowing it down, doing the juke, and then picking right back up to full speed again, that definitely helped me is, you know, to transfer those skills as a running back, or what I'm trying to do anyways.
And I see that you're one of the team captain out there. Tell me, what does that mean to you, and how do you try to use that title per se to really influence and help the team be successful?
Yeah, that's actually one of the things I'm most proud about. You know, the Iowa Thunder, we feel like such a huge family. And I know a lot of teams say that, and I think people hear that and maybe don't even totally understand that until they feel a part of that team-like experience. But it's a great responsibility. Like, you know, we all feel like sisters, and sometimes I feel like I can take on a more motherly role in the sense that, you know, people will come and maybe talk about some training tips or just an energy that you bring that, you know, pick everyone up, share a smile, share a hug, share a high five. It's an encouragement thing, and when you see that spread, it's awesome. So and I don't think that I can teach much. It's only my second year playing about football, but I can certainly share an enthusiasm and a love and protection for the girls that, you know, it feels great to be a part of something.
That's awesome. It's 22 after the hour, coming up in less than 5 minutes. Offensive coordinator Myron Brown of the Sacramento Sirens. Another question for you, Jennifer, before we talk to Brianna again. You've got a degree in biology and psychology. there's a little bit of a brain inside the matrix besides some quick feet and strong legs, isn't there?
You done your homework. I hope so. Like to be
that's quite an accomplishment, a double degree right there.
Thank you so much. Yeah, if I could, I'd go back and just be a full-time student. But
well, you can't do that yet. You've got some football to be playing right now.
We got football to concentrate on. We do have a lot of girls in the college still, so that's pretty cool too that they balance both. Really proud of them.
Good. And Brianna, let's bring you back in. Let's talk about a little bit about your defense. You're one of the line women out there, and you guys have only allowed 35 points so far. Tell me about your defense, maybe some of the other players, and what makes you such a good cohesive unit.
Well, the D line, we're just like we always know what each other is thinking out there. Like, I don't know how to explain it. It's just so in sync. And then we have the linebackers that I trust fully to always be there to clean up anything around. And we have Cowell on the line, and she's called the sack master because I don't even know how she gets over there so fast, but sometimes she's just on the quarterback as soon as they get the ball. It's just amazing out there, and we feel like a family in itself as a defense because we're just so in sync, and it just all seems to work out when we're out there on the field.
Now, and don't get me wrong when I say this, because you're putting up some tremendous stats again this year. You had the great stats last year. The one thing I did notice, and I'm sure it's something about the way the game plan is, or maybe another player you've added to the roster, there's a good explanation. I was curious, your sacks actually have gone down this year, but your everything else has maintained or been better. What's the reason for that, and is it probably just because there's some better players in your team that are actually being able to help you with that task?
Well, my job is basically just to get in there and fill a hole. Yeah, I do make tackles, but for some reason, the quarterback always seems to get rid of the ball right before I get to him, so no sacks for me this year.
Ah, pesky, those pesky quarterbacks, huh?
Yeah, I don't know why they're so afraid.
Well, I do. I know why they are.
We saw what you did last year. Let's talk about you guys are you're tied with the Minnesota Machine. They're 4-1. They're going to play the Kansas City Spartans. The Spartans are 2-3. You played them. Tell me a little bit about what's it going to take for you guys as you play. You're going to play the Slam. I mean, you got an incredible game this week. They're 6-0, and you got to go play it in St. Louis. What do you need to do on the defensive side of the ball to beat the Slam and ensure you guys make the playoffs and have a good run?
Well, as a defense, we just got to keep our heads in the game and not get too frustrated. One good thing about our defense is even if the game isn't going our way at the moment, we still try. We never give up, and we just got to keep our heads in it and make sure that we don't keep making mistakes.
That's right. And, Jennifer, let's bring you back in. We've got the Matrix also on the line. You know, a couple weeks ago you did beat the Spartans, who the Minnesota's playing. You shut them out. You had last week off for the holiday. You've got the Slam. Tell me about what the offensive side of the ball. What do you need to do to really make these Slam not undefeated as we go on?
Yeah, no, the Slam, we're really excited to play them. They're going to be a really great opponent. We've gone up against them twice, so we kind of have a feel of what we're up against. The biggest thing we got to do as an offense is not make any mistakes. The Slam is really good at not making mistakes and capitalizing on other teams' mistakes. So last time we played them, they scored twice on fumble recoveries and interceptions. So we got to keep our cool, play at our pace. We got a couple new formations we're throwing in. So Slam, if you're listening, look out. And we're feeling pretty good about those to take advantage of some strengths that we have. You know, we're playing them at home, so we do have
okay,
that going for us. But, hey, that's okay. No, we're excited. We got a brand new field this year that we're quickly falling in love with, and we got a great home crowd. So, you know, the Slam is a really great team. There's a reason why they're the national champs, and they've been around for a long time. And they play a good game, and it's nothing's cheap and nothing's, you know. So the good thing about the Thunder is we elevate, you know, when we're playing strong teams, we step up our game. So I'm really excited for tomorrow. I think it's going to be a good game. We're going to see some good stuff. I think athleticism wise, we're pretty equally matched, and you know, they've been around for a long time, and we kind of hope to follow in their footsteps to be where they are at organizational wise in the years to come. So it's going to be a good matchup.
27 after the hour, just in moments, offensive coordinator Myron Brown and the Sacramento Sirens. Yeah, last question. You're right. You're exactly right. The Slam, you guys are going to get up for this game. And since you're at home, why don't you give a little encouragement, anybody listening out there in Iowa land, how about helping them, encourage them to get out the game and support you this weekend, because it probably is the biggest game you've played all year.
For sure. Last time we saw them was at the St. Louis Rams game when we played them at halftime of the Rams and Green Bay Packers. So we're looking forward to meeting up with them again. Playing at kickoff 10 o'clock tomorrow, Martinsdale. So come on out.
Well, of course, nobody controls the Matrix. The Matrix controls you. That's Jennifer Bowling, the Matrix from the Iowa Thunder. Before I let you go, Jennifer, you want to give a shout out to anybody that might be listening tonight?
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to my family who's here from Montana to see the game, and anyone else who's listening. Thank you so much.
Oh, Canada. Good stuff. Like, how about you, Brianna Robinson? You want to give a shout-out to anybody that may be listening tonight?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you to the fans for giving us all support. Love seeing people out there at the games every week.
Absolutely awesome. Well, ladies, thank you very much for being with us. That's Brianna Robinson, defensive linewoman of the Iowa Thunder, and Jennifer Bowling, the star running back from the 4-1 Thunder also. Ladies, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much.
All right,
have a great weekend.
Night.
Hopefully we'll get to talk to you soon.
Hey, that's right. That's Brianna Robinson and Jennifer Bowling of the Iowa Thunder. We are going to take just a short break. Mr. Bronchitis needs a little water, and then we've got Myron Brown, the offensive coordinator of the Sacramento Sirens, coming up in just minutes. I am Mark the Shark, and you are listening to WFBTalkContinues.com. Put a tiger in your tank. Be right back. Preview, and I am your host, Mark the Shark. We're here on live on WFBTalkContinues.com. We got a great show here for we are back. Sorry about the delay there. Something happened. You know, you can't trust AT&T all the time, that's for sure. I'm Mark the Shark, and let's get right back to the show. It is now 32 after the hour, and we are looking to talk to head coach or offensive coordinator. Check that, Myron Brown of the Sacramento Sirens. Coach Brown, are you there? Hello, Coach Brown.
Yes, Mark, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. There you are. How are you tonight, Coach?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for being on the show. Appreciate your time today. I know you guys are preparing for an important game coming up tomorrow. Sirens are 7-0. Tell me a little bit about your background, Coach Brown, and why you decided to actually get into coaching women's football.
Well, it's kind of a long story, but I started coaching the Sirens in 2002. My then girlfriend at the time was playing, said she wanted to play from flag football into a women's professional league, football league, and she invited me out some games, and I watched the games, and I was kind of piqued my interest, and, you know, you're sitting in the stands, you're thinking, man, you know, things are going pretty well on the field, but there's some things that, you know, I think I'd like to tweak and bring in a little different offense and kind of see how things would go with that. That was 2001, and she basically would come home and get frustrated with things, and, you know, I would try and console her. And then finally the coaches quit after that season, and she finally said, you know what, you got all these great ideas. It's time to put up or shut up. And so she asked me to put in a resume, and I did, and when I did, I also made sure that I brought along a trusted friend of mine, someone that coached me when I was in high school, a guy by the name of David Gray. And we went on, and for 5 years that Coach Gray coached, we went 45-1. Not too bad of a record there.
Not too bad. I probably think that was during the three championships. Am I right there?
Those three IWFL championships, and we were able to win a small little championship of about six teams, WAFC, before that. But there were some pretty good teams in that with Arizona Caliente and the and Hawaii Legends. So, you know, there were some good teams, despite the fact it was kind of a smaller type of championship.
Well, last week you took out the Tucson Monsoon 73-0. The offense was rolling, so you must have really been doing something right standing on top of the press box. This week you've got the Modesto Maniacs at home. We know you beat them 68-0 in week 5. You beat them 55-0 in week 7. Tell me a little bit about what this game means to you. Even though it looks like an easy game on paper, this game is very important for the home field advantage through the playoffs, or as part, most of the playoffs, because I know if you win at home, you get the home field advantage, but if you win big, you can get a better ranking and actually try to steal that extra seat from the Boston Militia, who are actually the number one ranked team in the league right now. Tell me how big this game is for you as compared to what you're trying to get out of your ranking.
Well, you know, we can't worry about the ranking. That's kind of what we've talked about. I mean, I've yet to really meet somebody that really understands the ins and outs, other than, of course, we want to score points and obviously not give up points. But, you know, I've seen teams leapfrog over other teams. Teams have had a bye, got leapfrogged over. And so I think the best thing to do is control the stuff that we can control. So we definitely have some goals for this game. We want to continue to get better on offense. We have a very young offense. We have two-thirds of our offensive line are rookies. And so basically, if you go across the board, counting the tight end, we have four positions out of six that are basically rookies. So we're trying to get better up front. Defense continues to get better. We're kind of treating this season as kind of a start over, because last year was my first year back after a two-year hiatus. And, you know, I think we put some building blocks in place last year. We lost three games altogether and two games by 1 point. And so this year we just made a concerted effort to do some things a little bit differently. We're fortunate to get some veterans back that had actually retired and decided that this 10-year anniversary of the Sirens, they wanted to come back and play at least one last season. And then we're fortunate to get some rookies that came out that, you know, you just don't know how that's going to play out. And I think our owners did a good job of getting the word out about the Sirens. And we have a very nice rookie class, but the problem with rookies is they are rookies and they tend to make a lot of mistakes, but they're growing and they're getting better every week. So I think that's kind of where we are right now is get better every week, use this Modesto game as a chance to just go forward into the playoffs, hopefully firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, you want to score a lot, you want to shut the defense down, and I agree with you about the rankings. It is kind of a confusing thing. As I was looking at doing some of the setups for the playoffs, in two cases, a team with a worse record has the home field advantage. So that was a little different for me, and I agree it is kind of hard to figure out. But nonetheless, you guys do have a great ranking, and that is going to come into play. But you got to go out there and just play football. Let's talk a little bit about you've got a trio running backs, and actually last game you actually got to, because the game was so out of reach, you got to introduce some more running backs and get them some more time. But the top three with Quan, Shockley, and Sharp, you've really got a loaded backfield for you. How do you decide how you're going to set the game plan having so much talent back there every week?
Well, you know, it's been an interesting year this year with the three of them, because Quan came to us as a middle linebacker from the Scorpions, and actually I was playing in WPFL at that time. And I saw her, and I told her she was a fullback, and she said, no, I'm a middle linebacker. And I said, no, believe me, you're a fullback. And that was her first season of playing fullback. That was also Julie Witcher at the time, now Julie Shockley's very last year of playing, and then Ashley came in 2006. So what's nice about the three of them right now is Julie's starting to get right back to the top of her game, and I really think Hugh and Sharper at the top of their game. So it's the first time that the three of them have actually played together, and it's also, you know, nice to see them at a point where they're really peaking right now. And it's a nice fit. And then you add the fact that we got this young offensive line, which I take that as a challenge, and the fact that it's just kind of fun coaching them, because you see the light bulb go on. We run a fairly complicated offense, especially for the offensive linemen, and you see each week them grow. They're growing in the offense, starting to understand it. And, you know, you'll be in a film session, and all of a sudden they'll say, oh, okay, that's why I wasn't supposed to do that last week, and that's why it worked this week. And that's just fun. And you combine that, and it's been a fun and challenging season.
You know, and it's really as a side note, it's been fun for me to be a part of it, just being doing some of the stadium announcing and just standing up there and watching the poetry in motion. Because like you said, I mean, it really, I'm glad you, the last, next question was going to be about the offensive line, but you kind of covered that. And the fact that most of them are rookies, it just blows me away, because as you watch this poetry, like I say, these people really, these ladies really know how to hit their holes. They know how to open the holes. They know how to come to another gap or reverse their motion. And your backfield does a lot of crazy things. They go both ways. There's a lot of inside draws that go to the opposite side of the field. So it is important that these rookies are really stepping up right now.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we depend on them, and I call them the engine, because it's like an engine, any kind of machine, a car, whatever. If it's not functioning on all cylinders, you can tell. And there's been times where that's happened, but when it's when it runs right, it works really well.
40 after the hour, coming up in just moments, Jenny Schmidt and Mindy White of the Kansas City Tribe, last year's IWFL champions. We're going to get to them in just a moment. Last question for you. We've got offensive coordinator Myron Brown from the Sacramento Sirens on the line right now. I don't really want to look too far ahead, but you do have like a team you've beat shut out twice coming up. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing specifically to gear this team towards the playoffs come next weekend.
Well, I think what we try and do is we're always trying to self-evaluate and get better ourselves, because I don't want to worry too much about what's going on. We don't even know right now. I know the Quake's up there. And I think if they take care of business, it'll probably be the Quake. And I know that, Shockwave's had a great season. The Scorpions have had a great season. Amazons are a great team. They just happened to, play three really tough games and lose those three. And it could have gone either way on all three of those. So it's a dogfight. And so I think what we're trying to do is to get better this week and start focusing on our next opponent. We're probably going to have to sit there with our iPhones and figure out who we're going to play after our game's over, and then we'll start to Sunday we'll start evaluating and getting ready for the next opponent.
Absolutely fantastic. That's offensive coordinator Myron Brown of the Sacramento Sirens. Hey, Coach, do you want to give a shout out or say anything to the team before we let you go for tonight?
Yeah, to the Sirens family, it's been a nice journey, and it's let's continue it. And also we have a coach that's in Seattle. He had a heart attack, and he's my brother. At least, he's totally different skin color, whatnot, but he's my brother. But he had a heart attack, and he's been, basically it's been a tough ride for him. And that was week two. And he's been coming out to, or at least he's been able to come out to our home games. We've had some home games, and he comes out, and we have him in a wheelchair right now. And that's Frankie Collins. And I just want to give a shout out to Frankie, because he's my man.
I did see Frankie on the field at the end of the game, before the game. That was fantastic last week. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow, Coach, up on the box. Thank you very much for your time. That's offensive coordinator Myron Brown of the Sacramento Sirens. Thank you, Coach Brown, and good luck tomorrow.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate all you do.
Thank you. Once again, offensive coordinator 7-0, got a big game against the Modesto Maniacs tomorrow at Natomas High School. If you're out in the Sacramento Valley area, make sure you hit it up. Well, on the line, we're going to just roll right into our next interviews. The voice will have to hold out, because we got two lovely ladies from the Kansas City Tribe. We're going to talk about their upcoming game. Let's bring up Mindy White, linebacker for the Kansas City Tribe. Mindy, are you there?
I am. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. We've also got quarterback Jenny Schmidt from the Tribe. Jenny, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing great. Ladies, thank you very much for being on the show. Mindy, let's get back to you real quick. You're a linebacker. You were actually born right there in Kansas in a little town of Melbourne. Tell me about growing up in one of those small Midwest towns. How's that working for you?
Well, it's certainly not a big city. We don't even have a stop right there. With a population of 425, there's not much to do besides play sports. So most of us grew up tomboys, and I don't know if you were aware, but Rusty Sowers, who is another player on our team, also grew up in Melbourne, Kansas. So apparently there's football fever if you come out of those small towns.
That's a fantastic stat. That's got to be one of the – that belongs in Guinness right there, two ladies from Melbourne on the same team. You're also an attorney, but what really blew me away in your bio was you had 12 varsity letters in high school. To me, that's absolutely phenomenal. Tell me a little bit about your high school experience and how it prepared you to play football for the Tribe.
Well, I've always been a competitive person, and like I said, growing up in a small town, there's not a lot to do besides play sports. And, your parents always encourage that because it keeps you out of trouble. There's kind of two kinds of kids in small towns, the kinds that are good and then the kind that never get out of there and don't really make much of themselves. So thankfully, I was one that, you know, studied hard and played sports all day long, and then I really missed it because I went on to play in college, and once my college career was done, I realized there was kind of something missing in my life, and football has certainly more than filled that void.
Now let's bring in, we'll get back to you in a minute, Mandy. Let's bring in Jenny Schmidt. She's the quarterback of the 5-2 tribe. Right now she is the high and away the leader in passing yards in the IWFL at 1,882 yards. She's also got 23 passing touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns, and check this, how about 51 first downs via the pass? That's absolutely phenomenal, Jenny. Tell me a little bit about what it's like being the quarterback for the last year's world champion tribe.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. Before I get into that, though, I'd like to add, I think one of Mindy's varsity letters was marching band, so let's not get too excited.
Oh, okay. We'll give her okay. We'll give her 11 letters in sports and one for some social activity. How about that?
Okay. But, no, it's a lot of fun. You know, when we put in this offense last year, you know, it's a quarterback dream come true to just spread it out and throw it all over the place, and we were gifted with a bunch of really great receivers on top of that, so it's been a blast.
And I look at your bio, you were actually a professional basketball player. What was it like playing in Denmark, of all places?
It was a great experience. I was just literally out of college, 2 months after I graduated, went over there, and to be on your own, you know, in a new place, let alone a different country, was just a really eye-opening experience.
Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, I've been overseas a couple places, but that sounds like a neat place. Never been there. Hey, let's talk about last week, tough game. I know things are important as you roll towards the playoffs, but the Dallas Diamonds aren't a joke, and you did lose to them 35-21. And, boy, did it get easier this week or what? You've got to go play. You got at home, but you've got to play the Chicago Force, and they're undefeated. But I think the good news on that is your loss against them early in the season was 14-12, so it was a heck of a game. But even though the loss against the Diamonds, you guys are looking like you really can do some damage against the Force this week.
Yeah, I think go ahead, Min.
I was just going to say we're very, very excited about this game. Chicago has developed into a great rivalry for us, and not that we took it, you know, we took any time off in the middle of the season, but we've very much been looking forward to our shot at redemption, and I think there'll be a lot of people surprised once the score comes up tomorrow.
I like that attitude. How about you, Jenny? What do you think about having to play the Force after that tough game earlier in the year?
Well, I think everyone's realized that this is basically, you know, this is it for us. It comes down to this game, and if we want to have any chance to advance in our season, you know, we've got to go out and perform and come out with a W, and I think everyone realizes that.
Fantastic. Back to Mindy real quick. Mindy, you've got, 108 tackles this year, 14 for losses. And tell me a little bit about the difference between last year and this year. I know you're 5-2. Last year you went all the way. Tell me a little bit about the difference and what you see as the tribe rolls on, how you've kind of changed and morphed a little bit.
Well, I think our record is the result of a number of things. Well, no one expected us to do anything last year. We'll fully embrace the fact that we were a Cinderella team, not that we didn't deserve everything that we did, because every time that we took the field, you know, we beat the team that was there on the other side. But no one was prepared for us to come out, A, and pass the ball about 80% of the time, to have just the wealth of talent that we did in our receiver pool, and then, you know, Jenny on top of it, who just does an amazing job spreading the ball around. And then our defense, I mean, we were tough, and we were very blessed last year because we didn't really have any injuries. I had to play middle linebacker this year for the bulk of our season. We just got our middle linebacker back for part of the Dallas game, and I'm extraordinarily excited to go back to the outside because I don't really like it in the middle. So I know that I'm going to be very happy for that. You know, one of our top receivers, she's out with an injury. We've just been really plagued with injuries this year, so a lot of people have been bouncing around, and it's going to be nice to be somewhat back to full strength. We still are missing a couple people, but this is probably outside of the first game that we played this year and half of the Dallas game, the most healthy that we've been. And teams are more prepared for us this season, so we have had to make a lot more adjustments. We've put in new things every week this year as opposed to learning the new offense last year and then really just winning with our athleticism. People are just playing us differently. But, you know, I'll pick the 11 that I have on the field against any team out there because I really do think that we're most athletic. I think we're the quickest. And, you know, a couple teams have managed to get one over on us this year, but I'm looking forward. I would much rather play a game every week with a worthy opponent than, you know, those blowout games. It's not any fun. We all put in too much work and too much time and money, you know, to go out there and not be competitive.
That's a very true statement. Anybody that doesn't know, Mindy White is one of the original three founders of the Kansas City Tribes. I'm sure you got to be very proud of that. Let's talk about a little bit more about the defense. It's 50 after the hour. Coming up in moments, Jessica Javelin, wide receiver of the SoCal Scorpions. Mindy, let's see. You've got four out of your five wins have been shutouts, and you guys have never been defeated at Center High School. That's an excellent statistic. And how important is that going to be playing Chicago this week?
Oh, it's going to be totally incredible. And one thing that the Force have coming for them, I don't know if you're aware, but we have the Chico Thunder Touchdown Band, which is a rock and roll / punk band that plays at all of our games. And this will be the first time tomorrow that all four members will be there. We've only had three at the prior game. So that coupled with the fact that I think we're going to...
You're looking for any edge, aren't you, Mindy?
We are. And that we're going to have 1,000 people out there. And
wow.
Center High School actually put our logo on their scoreboard. So they're really proud of the tribe tradition and what we've built there, and they've been absolutely amazing to us. And you know, we're not going to let our fans down tomorrow.
Back to Jenny Schmidt. Jenny, let's talk about the wide receivers that you've got to play with and use that golden arm on. Talk about a little bit about the wide receiving core and how they make your job a little easier.
Oh, they're great. They make my job just so much easier. One, the speed that they have across the board. You know, our top six receivers are all extremely quick and have good speed, and all of them can catch. And, you know, the number one thing in this offense is to first catch the ball, and all of them have good hands. And, you know, even if you catch it at 5 yards and trip and fall down, that's still 5 yards, and we'll take it. So they do an excellent job.
Excellent. Last question for you, Mindy. Let's talk about a little bit about some of the other defensive players that make those four shutouts happen this year. Talk about your defense and some of the supporting cast and how they've been so important to guys winning games this year.
You know, I mentioned our middle linebacker, Lane Anderson. She's just a beast. I mean, she's heart and soul of our defense, and she does an amazing job A-gap to A-gap. And I'm just so happy to have her back and be playing beside her. And then our strong safety, the mighty Megan Sinrod, all 5'1", and I don't even think she's that, and about 125 pounds of her. She's one of the fiercest competitors that I've ever known. And, you know, she, anytime that you see her take out Jessica Springer single-handedly 5 or 6 times in a game, I mean, you just got to smile ear to ear because, you know, it's almost comical. If you ever watch film on her, it looks like there's a second grader out there playing the game with us, but she's just as tough as they come. And then secondary, I mean, I'm just so proud of our secondary. We've had some people really step up. Of course, Rusty's been playing free for us for, well, the 6 years that we've played together, and, you know, she does an amazing job back there, and we've developed some people that didn't start out as corners just because of injuries that we've had, but they're both doing a lot better job, and our defensive line is really up. Larisha Graves, she's our big running back, and she plays defensive end for us, and I saw her arm tackle a couple people this year that I don't think had ever been arm tackled in their life. I mean, just took them and pulled them down. So they've really, really stepped up this season. Kenesha Walker, Kiki Blackman, Maglin Obafule, they've just done a great job shutting down those gaps. And, you know, we're all still learning together because we have a lot of new people in a lot of different places. But, I mean, I've got some amazing girls coming to me.
Fantastic. Hey, ladies, thank you very much for being on the show. I really do wish you luck this week. I know it's the most important game of the year. And I don't like to see anybody really go undefeated. I like to see the wealth spread around. So take out the Force this week. Roll towards the playoffs. And you know what? Maybe if I get to travel with the Sirens, I might see you down the road. But thank you very much. That's Mindy White of the KC Tribe and Jenny Schmidt, the quarterback of the Tribe. Thank you, ladies, for being on the show tonight. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mark.
All
thank
right.
So
real quick, I'm sorry, Jenny, did you want to give a shout-out before you go? Anybody?
A shout-out?
Yeah. Anybody might be listening? You want to say anything to anybody before we let you go?
If there's any Tribe fans, I'd like to give a shout out to them. They've been great all year. So if any of them are listening, you guys are awesome.
Excellent. Mindy, are you still there?
I am.
You want to say anything to anybody before we let you go as one of the founding members there of the Tribe?
Well, since I'm going to make him listen to this later, I'm going to give a shout-out to Mr. Brad Sweeten, who's the Center Athletic Director, because he's been absolutely amazing to us these last 2 years, and he just bends over backwards to give us the great home field advantage that we have. So thank you very much, Mr. Sweeten. We couldn't have done this all without you.
There you go, paying respects to the people that are due. That's Mindy White, one of the owners and an outstanding linebacker for the KC Tribe, and Jenny Schmidt, the league leader in passing yards and touchdowns, the quarterback of the Kansas City Tribe. Good luck, ladies. Thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you.
All right. We are. What a fantastic two interviews. Good luck with the Tribe this week. Really hope they pull it out against the undefeated team from Chicago. So the Force needs to be beaten, and good luck to them. We're going to take a quick break, get me a quick glass of water, and when we come back, we're going to wait. We're waiting for Jessica Javelet. She's getting ready to land in a plane, and she'll be on the phone shortly. Meanwhile, we've got more stats and information to cover. You are listening to Mark the Shark on the hottest show on Friday nights, Friday Night Football Preview on WFBTalkContinues.com. Keep out of reach of children. Be right back. Welcome back to the show. I'm Mark the Shark, and you are listening to Friday Night Football Preview on, of course, your home of everything professional women's football, WFBTalkContinues.com. Welcome back to the show. If you're just tuning in, you missed a lot. You missed Jennifer Bowling and Brianna Robinson of the Iowa Thunder. They had a lot to say about their upcoming game against an undefeated team. How about offensive coordinator Myron Brown, Sacramento Sirens, talking about the game against Modesto this week? And we just got rid of Jenny Schmidt and Mindy White of the outstanding Kansas City Tribe, last year's champion, trying to repeat as we go forward. We are still waiting for the lovely Jessica Javelet to land her plane. I don't know if she's flying, but I know she's in one, and we're going to get to her as soon as she comes on the line. Right now, let's get back to some more stats. And let's go back. We're getting the IWFL right now, and we are at the rushing yard category, team rushing yards. Well, how about Monique Zaki in the California Quake? She has helping the Quake get 2,091 total rushing yards already. The only other team over 2,000 yards is the Sacramento Sirens. Sirens have 2,064 yards, and in third is the Carolina Phoenix with 1,800 yards even. How about rushing touchdowns? Wow, how about those Phoenix? 34 rushing touchdowns of the team. Sirens have 30, and the California Quake have 29. Individual rushing yards in the IWFL. Monique Zaki of the Quake, 1,284 yards, high and above the league leader right now in the category with 1 week to go. In second, Jerika Henson of the Phoenix with 937. And in third, Priscilla Gardner of the SoCal Breakers has 813 rushing yards. And over in the rushing touchdowns, it's Monique Zaki has 14, Jerika Henson 13, and Julie Wick-Shockley of the Sirens now has 12 and jumps into third in that category. On to the receiving categories. Let's look at receiving yards for the IWFL. Coming up shortly, we hope, if our plane lands safely, and we sure it will, we're just waiting for the wheels to go down. We've got Jessica Javelet. She leads the league in receiving yards with 754 from the SoCal Scorpions. In second place is her teammate, Holly Peterson. She's got 632 yards. And in third, Shante Bond from the New York Sharks has 502. Receiving touchdowns, it looks like Jessica Javelet and Holly Peterson are both tied with 10, and Bonds brings up second with 8. Total receptions in the league, Regina Nolan from the Baltimore Nighthawks has 30 catches, Lauren Manfred of the New York Nemesis also has 30, and Jessica Javelet of the Scorpions has 28. Coming up in just moments, we believe Jessica Javelin's plane has landed. We're going to check with her in just a moment. Let's get to some defensive stats for the IWFL. Leading the league still is Erin Sheriff in interceptions. She's with the Iowa Crush. She's got 5. But now we've got a big horse race. Three players tied for second, all with 4 interceptions. One of them, Stephanie LaCrosse of the Montreal Blitz, Ashley Razor Sharp, Sacramento Siren, and Deuce Rays of the Scorpions. All have 4 interceptions. How about touchdowns? Defensive touchdowns. The Razor, Ashley Sharp, Erin Sheriff, and Martha Dantuma of the Force all have 2 defensive touchdowns. A couple more categories to come, and we're going to have Jessica Javelet coming up in just moments. Don't go anywhere. Leading the league in sacks in the IWFL is Shaniqua Nikki Sauter with the Carolina Phoenix. She has 14 sacks. And Mindy White with the Tribe, we just had her on about 15 minutes ago. She's got 108 tackles this year. Absolutely phenomenal. Easily the only lady with over 100 tackles in the IWFL. How about passes defended? Big category. This is an important defensive category. Shannon Anderson of the Wisconsin Wolves has 14. And starting to catch her from the Boston Militia with 12 is Brianna Gallo. All right, last defensive category, forced fumbles. How about Megan Larson out the New Jersey Justice, laying some hammer down, showing the badge. She's got 4 forced fumbles already in the IWFL for her team. All right, looks like we are ready for our last guest of the evening. We have got the superstar, JJ, Jessica Javelet, the SoCal Scorpions. Jessica, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, Jessica, as we say in radio, turn down your radio, please.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm on a train from the airport going over to the shuttle, so it's a little loud. Sorry about that.
Well, you just tell everybody that's sitting by, you're on a radio show, you're a star, and you need some time and privacy, so we're going to take care of you right here.
Okay, okay.
Jessica Javelet, she's a wide receiver for the SoCal Scorpions, leading the league in a lot of categories. They are 5-2, but Jessica, you're a rookie. Is that right?
That's true. That is true.
Tell me about your first year playing for the Scorpions in professional women's football.
Wow. Well, it's been a breeze in the fact that it's just gone by so quickly. However, in the beginning, I wasn't sure I was actually going to stick with it. Maybe my second day of practice, one of our biggest linebackers came off the line and just laid out, and that day I thought, I'm going to quit. I'm not coming back to the next practice. But, you know, I ended up sticking it out. Sorry, it's so loud here. Jeez. And I don't know, it's been awesome, actually, just playing with all the people and all the veterans and our quarterback, Melissa Gallegos, who is just amazing. And just the talent that we have on the team, it's been really awesome. It's a lot different coming from field hockey was actually the sport that I played. I played on the U.S. national team for 3 years, and ended that last June. So since then, I was looking for something to do, just a high level of competition, and I luckily found myself in women's football.
Well, it looks like if people are getting to hit you now because you used to hit people with wooden sticks with a net on it, so maybe about fair play, it's time for you to take your beating, huh?
Yeah, it is. You know what? That's karma. I guess that's karma.
Tell me a little bit about, let's talk a few about a few of your players that you get to play with. Tell me what it's like having a lady like Holly Peterson on the other side of the field trying to catch passes also.
I love playing with Holly. I mean, we just we used to play on the same side, but now it got a little bit too easy for the defense to mark us. Now we play on different sides, and it is so amazing just to go out there and know that it's kind of hard to shut us down because on the other side of the field is someone equally as talented as I am, if not more, and she can just catch passes. She has hands that are just so – they're just the best hands I've ever seen before. And Gallegos, our quarterback, can just put it in the right spot. I mean, I love playing with her. I respect her as an athlete and definitely as a wide receiver. She works very hard, and she deserves definitely all the accolades and you know that she's gotten.
That's fantastic. Some of your stats, you are second in the league with receptions. We just covered some stats right before you came on, 28 catches, first in the league for 754 yards, and tied for first with your teammate Holly with 10 touchdowns. Tell me what it's like to have a quarterback that's so good as Melissa Gallegos throwing you the ball.
It's amazing. I mean, a lot of the other teams we play against, they play a run-style game. Maybe 80% of the time they're running it, 20% they throw it. I mean, but on our team, it's like 80% of the time we're throwing it. So we're just getting so many chances to go out there and catch the ball and make big plays, which is awesome. So, you know, to have the ability to be able to really impact the game and make some clutch plays for our team. So, I mean, she's amazing. She is just so calm and so just composed in the pocket, and she can just wait and really put the ball on the spot. So it's been awesome actually working with her. I've definitely, you know, learned a lot from her.
And I'm sure being a rookie, it's been great to have somebody with a little experience back there to really kind of keep you focused and help you understand the pass routes and where you need to be. So that's fantastic. You're giving props to her. It's 6 after the hour, hopefully the same time where you are. We've been talking to Jessica Javelin, wide receiver of the SoCal Scorpions. They are 5-2. They had a big game last week, a big, big win of the Bay Area Bandits. Bandits were on a roll at the time. You just slapped them silly with a 43-6 victory. And, of course, now you got to play them again this week. They're 5-2. You're 5-2. How are you going to beat the Bandits again back-to-back week?
You know, I think the score didn't really say much for, like, what a good team they are. You know, they really are a good team. They're very strong offensively and defensively. They're very sound also. You know, we come up with some clutch plays. Our defense came up with a touchdown and a blocked punt. So it is going to be challenging. I think we're just, you know, going to try to run the ball and really work the outsides with Holly and myself. And hopefully our defense can just come up with those clutch plays again. Yeah. But again, I think it is really going to be a tough game. I think we are two very evenly matched teams. And I mean, I definitely respected their team, and I thought that they brought it very hard, and I know they're going to do it again, so we're definitely going to have to bring our A game if we want to go out there and, you know, really show that we deserve to be the ones on top.
Well, you spoke a little bit about your defense. Let's get into that. Out of the 5 wins you have this year, 3 of them have been shutouts, and the 2 losses were both against Tier 1 teams, so which you guys are also, but you got to give a little credit to the defense. They're playing their heart out there, keeping you guys in some games, aren't they?
They are. Our defense definitely is what's been making our offense better going against them at practice. We have a lot of veterans out there. They really do bring pressure. I mean, Starks, Mosley, Mickey Moore in the back. You got Deuce out there, Juju, Manning. They're just some great athletes, you know, and they make good plays. So playing with them definitely has made me a better wide receiver, and it really, you know, has made it tough for some of our opponents to put points on the board.
8 after the hour, we're talking to JJ, Jessica Javelin, wide receiver of the SoCal Scorpions, as she's on a tram at the airport, just landed wheels down from a hot trip. Hey, let's talk about now. You guys need some things to happen. Not only do you got to play back-to-back against the Bandits, and beat a team that you know were better than what their score was. But now you also need California to lose to the Portland Shockwave to have a shot at the playoffs and get that ranking up. What do you focus on that, or you just put your head down and go full bore against Bay Area this weekend and let the chips fall where they may?
You know, early on in the season when we lost our first game to the Amazons and then our fourth game to the Quake, you know, right there, I mean, many people thought, you know, this is the end of the season, and a lot of people really had to assess whether or not they really wanted to put work in, even if, you know, we weren't going to end up in the playoffs. And, you know, most of our team, they went home, they thought about it, and everyone came back and said, yeah, we're going to do this, and we're going to play hard, and even if we don't get what we, you know, came out here to do and get into the playoffs, we're still going to do it hard. So I think that that's been our mentality, and we're just going to continue with it, you know, and if it ends up we don't make it in, we don't make it in, but I think we played a really tough season, you know, and so, yeah.
Now, you guys play in probably one of the toughest divisions in the women's football, so it is going to be quite an accomplishment if you guys do win and Cal loses and you make the playoffs. So, my congratulations there. You have come back from a rough start, and you're playing very well right now. JJ, anything else you'd like to say before I let you go?
No, just thank you for having me on the show and letting me talk about my team and how great they are.
Yeah, you know what? And they are playing great, and I'm glad to see you guys coming up. Tell me about real quick about playing in San Diego. What kind of crowd are you getting out there, and what does the team do to encourage more fans in the stands?
Oh, well, you know, we get some good fans out there, actually. We have people out there, and definitely cheerleaders, and we have halftime shows and music and all different sorts of things. You know, Jody it does a lot of our marketing, and, you know, we have all sorts of things, you know, EMTs, policemen. We have different days for people to come out and just, you know, support the Scorpions we offer. So, I mean, we try to get involved in the community as we can and get people out there that way. And, you know, I definitely try to get whoever I know to come out and support us. So, yeah.
Excellent. That's JJ Jessica Davlett. JJ, you want to give a shout out to anybody before I let you go?
Just to my family and thank them for supporting me, and even though they told me that I might get killed my first day of practice, but for still showing up to every game and just supporting me. And then my team, thank you. I love you. Thank you for protecting me out on the field.
Hey, you know what? Hey, you're that person was almost right, because you almost bailed after that hit. But you know what? Everybody's proud of you for sticking it out, and it really paid off, because you're having an outstanding season as a rookie, JJ. And I'm really happy that you are playing professional women's football, showing some of the ladies how it's done out there in SoCal.
Well, thank you.
All right, that's JJ Jessica Javelin, one of the leading receivers in the IWFL. They're 5-2. Got a big game against Bay Area this weekend. Good luck, JJ, and have a great night. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much. Good night.
All right. That's JJ, Jessica Javelin of the SoCal Scorpion. They are 5-2 and looking to try to pummel the Bay Area Bandits once again this week and try to help their playoff chances. Well, we're going to take a quick break, get back to some more stats. We're going to talk about the WFA stats here in just a moment. But that does wrap up the interview parts of our program. We're going to run a little long today. We've got a couple more pieces of information to get to you. So thank you very much for staying with us. Take a short break. I am Mark the Shark, and you're listening to Friday Night Football Preview on WFBTalkContinues.com. Let go my ego. Be right back. I am Marcus Shark, and you are listening to Friday Night Football Preview on WFBTalkContinues.com. We have had a fantastic show tonight, had a lot of special guests. I'd like to thank Jennifer Bowling, running back from the Iowa Thunder, also Brianna Robinson from the Thunder. She's a defensive line woman, doing a great job out there. Thunder 4-1. Good luck out there this weekend. Also like to thank offensive coordinator Myron Brown from the undefeated 7-0 Sacramento Sirens. Big game against Modesto this weekend. How about Jenny Schmidt, quarterback, and Mindy White, linebacker and co-owner of the 5-2 Kansas City Tribe. Thank you very much, ladies. And we just finished off with somebody that just jumped off the plane in time to talk to us. That was Jessica Javelet, the hot rookie wide receiver from the 5-2 SoCal Scorpions. Once again, thank you all you ladies for being on the show. And we are going to get over to some WFA stats right now. As long as my voice holds out, you are going to get some fantastic numbers. Let's talk about leading the league in points per game scoring. How about those Comets? 54.6 points a game. The Mayhem are in third with 53, and the Liberty Bells are at 48.3 points a game. How about the defense? That Slam is doing a fantastic job out in St. Louis. They are allowing 2 points per game right now, ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely fantastic. How about the Las Vegas Showgirls? They're in second, averaging 3.3 points allowed per game. And then the Mustangs bringing up third with 5.8 points a game allowed. Take a look at some more numbers right here in the WFA. Go down to some individual numbers. Leading the league in passer rating is Jeanette Hibbs from the Liberty Bells with a 130.4. Brantley Mack in second with those Dixie Blues with a 119 rating. And Brittany Bushman, who we had on a couple weeks ago with the Mustangs, she's got a 117.5 ranking. How about in touchdowns? Leading the league in touchdowns, Carrie Mitich of the Las Vegas Showgirls, 15 touchdowns out there in Vegas land. With 14 touchdowns, this Liz Lacey of the St. Louis Slam. And also with 14, Brantley Mack of the Dixie Blues. Bringing up third with 13 touchdowns, Nicole Byer. We had her on the show. She's with the Mayhem. They're terrifying right now. She's got 13 touchdowns. How about passing yards? Let's take a look. Passing yard leaders in the WFA. Gary Mitich of the Showgirls. She's got 964 yards. Brantley Mack in second with the Dixie Blues has 925. And Nicole Byer in third from the Mayhem with 848 passing yards. Talk a little bit about rushing. WFA rushing leaders. Jessica Plunkett with the Soul has 984 rushing yards. Jennifer Bowling, who we just had on the show, taught to lead the show off today, 795 yards. And in third from the Raging Wolves, Natasha M. Nelson. She has 721 yards. How about touchdowns? Mary Rose Roach with the Liberty Bell still leading the league, 15 touchdowns. In second with 13 is Leah Kazas of the Speed. And in third with 12 touchdowns, Michelle Robinson has 12 rushing touchdowns for the Dixie Blues. All right, leading the league in receiving, Kelly Robinson of the Mayhem has 30 catches, and Daniel Daughtry, her teammate with the Mayhem, also has 27. In third, Lakia Sears of the War Angels has 22 catches. Let's talk about yards, shall we? Receiving yards. We've got Kelly Robinson, 509 yards, 4 touchdowns for the Mayhem. In second, Lisa King with the Warriors has 448 yards. She's got 4 touchdowns. And Aishka Lay with the Dixie Blues, 435 yards, but she's got 7 touchdowns. Beautiful stuff. Let's go into some defensive stats for the WFA. Still leading the league in tackles, Tiara Pettis with the Slam, 86. And her teammate has 75. That's Kelly Kosland. In third, Esther Garate with the Zydeco has 62 tackles. Leading the league in tackles for losses, Alex the Animal Harvey with the Mustang. She's got 19. Tied for second, Tiara Pettis with the Slam, and Mariah McKiernan-Allen with the Speed. Both have 18 tackles for losses. There's another familiar name leading the sacks category in the WFA. It's Mariah McKiernan-Allen again with the speed. She's got 9 sacks. In second, Charlie Cox with the Showgirls has 6. Interceptions WFA, Robin Morrow with the slam. She has 5 picks. And several ladies are tied with 4, about 4, 5, 6 players right there with 4 interceptions. Robin, watch out. They're trying to catch you. You need a pick this week to stay on top of the leaderboard. Force fumbles in the WFA. Jennifer Hirakawa with the Thunder has 9. And Brianna Robinson, earlier guest on the show, she's got 5. 2 Thunder lead the league in forced fumbles. How about fumble recoveries? Somebody's got to hit them. Somebody's got to pick it up. Michelle Robinson of the Dixie Blues has recovered 6 fumbles. And Cindy Taff with the Thunder has 5. Tip passes, Amanda Brock with the Thunder. She's got 10 to lead that category. And one more. How about block kicks and punts? Yarlin Henry of the Dark Angels has 4 blocked kicks or punts. Absolutely fantastic. All right, let's look at just total touchdowns in the league. Mary Rose Roach with the Liberty Bells, 22 touchdowns. Rachel Fisher with the Assault has 15. And Leah Kazeth with the Speed has 12, along with Aishka Lay, Michelle Robinson of the Dixie Blues. They both have 12 also. And leading the league in field goals, Kelly Robinson has 5 field goals so far this year. That's a look at some big numbers from the WFA. We are going to take a quick break. We're going to get to the rest of the show and talk about the Massey and Zermelo rankings and how they play into things as we go forward. You are listening to the home of Friday Night Football Preview and everything professional women's football. I am Mark the Shark. You're listening to WFBTalkContinues.com. Eliminate strong odors. Be right back. Welcome back to the show. I'm Mark the Shark. And you are listening to the home of Friday Night Football Preview on WFBTalkContinues.com. As always, I've got Angus Young and the rest of the ACDC boys in studio. Playing a little riff-raff for your entertainment. Thanks for tuning in tonight one more time. I'd like to thank Jennifer Bowling, Brianna Robinson, Iowa Thunder, offensive coordinator Myron Brown, Sack Sirens, Jenny Schmidt, and Mindy White of the Kansas City Tribe, and J.J. Jessica Javelet of the SoCal Scorpions for being on the show. Thank you, one and all. All right, last bit of business to take care of. Let's take a look at some of the rankings real quick. Let's talk about the WFA for so far with a couple weeks to play. The St. Louis Slam is leading the Massey rankings. In second, the Lone Star Mustang, Columbus Comets in third. West Michigan Mayhem, 4th. Philadelphia Liberty Bells in 5th. Jacksonville Dixie Blues, 6th. Keystone Assault, 7. Indiana Speed, 8. The Las Vegas Showgirls, 9. And the Austin Outlaws, bring up the rear in 10th place in the WFA Matthew rankings. Little few differences in the Zermelo rankings in the WFA. The Lone Star Mustangs are actually ranked number one as opposed to two. The Comets are two instead of three as in the Massey rankings. And those Philadelphia Liberty Bells are third. St. Louis Slam, who are ranked number one in Massey, are ranked number four in the Zermelo. Rounding out 5 through 10 in the Zermelo rankings, the Dixie Blues, then the Showgirls. Mayhem are 7. Fighting Phillies are 8. Austin Outlaws, 9, and the Keystone Assault are 10. Let's talk about the IWFL Massey ranking. And these are what matters. This is what talks about the playoffs. This is the last week again for the IWFL regular season, week 10. And next Saturday we'll start the playoffs. So this is important to see if this changes as we go forward. Right now the highest ranked team in the IWFL is the Boston Militia. In second, my hometown, Sacramento Sirens. In third, the Dallas Diamonds. Fourth, the Chicago Force. Kansas City Triber, fifth. SoCal Scorpions, sixth. New York Sharks are seventh. The Bay Area Bandits, a Tier 2 team, are eighth. Fantastic. Good job, Bay Area. DC Divas are ninth, and the Cal Quake are ranked number 10. Not too many differences in the Zermelo rankings. The Chicago Force are number 2 instead of 4. And the Sirens slip to 3 instead of 2nd, as in the Massey ranking. Sharks move up a couple spots. They're in 4th. The Diamonds drop a couple to 5th. Then the Triber 6th. The Explosion of Atlanta are in 7th, and they are not even in the Massey rankings, but they're 7 in Zermelo. Carolina Phoenix, another team that's really playing well and running the ball well, they are 8th in the Zermelo. New England Intensity are number 9. Bringing up then the Montreal Blitz are number 10. That is a look at the Zermelo and Massey rankings going into the games this Saturday. All right. I think that is about all the show we've got for you tonight. Has that been enough for you folks or what? We have had a fantastic time. Once again, I'd like to thank all our guests previously mentioned. Thank you very much for your time and being on the show. I definitely appreciate it. Love giving publicity to the teams that are out there busting their heads every week. So good luck to all the ladies I spoke with today and the coach, Myron Brown of the Siren. Good luck to everybody. That's about it. I'd like to thank my lovely board, the Barbara. She's the best. VJ, thank you so much. Doing a great job back there in the studio for us. But again, thank you all the guests. And that's it for this show. I want to thank everybody once again. Tune in. We're going to actually be off next week. We're going to take next week off right before the playoffs. We'll be back the week after that. So enjoy your next Friday without me. If you miss me, you can email me, MarkTheShark at FridayNightFootballPreview.com. That's MarkTheShark at FridayNightFootballPreview.com. Please email me your ideas, suggestions for the next week or 2 weeks from now show. I'd like to talk to any guests you'd like to have, somebody you think is entertaining, somebody you think deserves to be on the show. Shoot me that email, MarkTheShark at FridayNightFootballPreview.com. Once again, thank you, everybody. That's the end of the show, and you've been listening to Friday Night Football Preview on WFVTalkContinues.com. I am Mark the Shark, and I'm out.